you wonder why folk come and go.
Right enough.
I've never left Edinburgh.
Never felt the need.
Some folk though, Jenny. All over the world. Camels and ships. God knows what.
I wouldn't trust the sea. Oh my God, what was that? Big rat across the platform down there.
Oh, I can't see such distance. Anyhow, the place is rampant with the beasts.
Don't encourage them.
All these years you're still kicking up a fuss. If it doesn't have a ticket, Mr. Pettigrew will see it far enough. Well, that's funny.
What's funny?
Never mind. Oh, hey, there's one near your skirt.
Oh, my good redeemer.
Come on, Jenny. God will guard you.
It's all right for you, Margaret Reed. Nerves of iron.
That's me, certain sure.
Midnight trains, dirty as the devil.
Wasn't it for the dirt? We'd know how you're living.
And the things you find, shameful.
You mind that big suitcase?
Aye, you opened it.
The noise. I thought there was a child inside.
Nothing of the sort. A big snake.
Oh. Right, come on. All aboard. Start the last carriage and work your fingers to the moon.
Oh, smells like a whiskey dive.
Oh, look. There's always one, eh?
A disgrace to mankind.
Just inebriated. Right, excuse me, sir. This is fa-
Oh, Margaret, what have you done?
Just a shove. His neck's livid. See the mark?
I see well enough. Oh.
Mr. Pettigrew! I think we have a dead body in Waverley Station.
That's against regulations. Don't move a muscle.
It's going to be a long night, Jenny.
You think they'll pay us extra?
Love assumes many guises, lest we see it coming and run for our lives. Not long ago, in conduct most inappropriate for a police officer, I looked into a young woman's eyes and felt a stab in the guts, as if I'd been attacked from the sly. It is the very devil. Jean Brash told me this, and she should know. She keeps the best body who's in Edinburgh. What things are perpetrated in love's name? Murder, betrayal, vengeance, and that's only the start, all because of that wee bugger with the bow and arrow. I have a measure of agreement with Edgar Allan Poe on the subject. He sees passion as a disease that brings the house crashing about your ears, a power that squashes your heart like a blood sausage. The feeling has passed, though the wound might still be tender. Yet no one saw my trembling save Jean, and that, I hope, only a small portion from the corner of her eye. I am restored now. I shall go to work on the streets of Leith in the early morning shift and announce myself to all and sundry as James McCleavy, Inspector of Crime, at your service. I will stick to what I do best and observe this motto as if it were branded upon my forehead. Love is a menace.
As you can see, the man's receipts have his dwelling place in Leith.
MacDonald Street. A lodging house, probably.
And nevertheless, I thought to inform your police station.
You did fine, Mr. Pettigrew. Were I open for murder?
Man's name would seem to be Count Borromeo. Italian, I'd wager.
No getting past you, Mulholland. Can I see the body, please?
It's in the next compartment on. The station master had the carriage moved to the sidings, but it's already played havoc with the timetable.
The timetable, eh?
Havoc. Here you are. Now I covered it over with a sheet.
No one likes looking at a corpse, sir.
Save the constable and I. Abra cadabra.
A whiskey man, I'd say.
No argument. And a handsome brute. Save this wee blemish upon the neck.
A straight line. Wire of some kind?
Wire would cut deep.
Not with cloth wrapped round. A garrote. Very Mediterranean.
Or a length of cord, strip of leather. We'll know more when we get him on the cold slab at the station.
His removal would be a relief.
The timetable, eh? Where did he get on the train?
Not exactly sure.
You must be. You're the guard. You have a whistle.
It was a press of people. The midnight train is surprisingly popular. A low class of passenger often, but...
Where did he get on?
Newcastle, I'm almost certain.
Did Did he have luggage?
No, I could not swear, but I think not.
Anything else? Anything else strike your fancy? Catch your eye?
There was one person caught my attention, but I'm not sure I should point the finger.
Every little helps, sir.
A giant of a fellow, with red hair, seated in the same compartment.
Mr. Pettigrew was most exact.
A railway man. You know the type, Lieutenant.
I do not generalise, McCleavy.
A person of such large description also shoved past the ticket collector.
And we found the dead man's empty wallet thrown upon the railway track.
I'm not sure this is even our case. What about the railway police?
Couldn't have found a goods wagon if it ran over their feet.
Only too pleased for us to take charge.
And he lives in McDonald Street, sir. Our parish.
Who found the body?
The cleaners. Two old biddies, Margaret Reed and Jenny Riddle.
We spoke to them. Nothing to add.
But by God, could they talk?
Not unusual for the species.
Mulholland, way over to the desk. And arrange a body collection from Waverley Station.
That's me gone, sir.
Something wrong, Lieutenant Broach?
No, not at all, no. A domestic matter. But for some reason it weighs upon my mind.
Yours to command, sir.
It's a trifling matter, James, but my wife has joined one of these reading societies. All the fashion, peruse and discuss.
Reading? Books, you mean? Edgar Allan Poe, The Murders in the Rue Morgue and such like?
Not quite. Female exponents, the Brontes.
Aha. What are their stories like?
Long, and to my mind somewhat morbid, but that is not the problem.
What is the problem?
Oh, Mrs. Roach has asked me to join the group. I would be the only man.
Oh, dear. I'm put in recollection of Dionysus with a back eye, torn to wee bits.
I had crossed my mind.
I would stick to golf.
You may be right.
Cadaver en route, sir.
Well, Lieutenant, shall we take up the case?
Oh, proceed on two fronts. Find this red-haired giant and also determine everything you can as regards the corpse. The more you discover about a dead body, the more reasons emerge for his attaining that condition.
Your servant aye, Lieutenant Roach, your servant aye.
What were you and the lieutenant on about?
None of your business. Find anything?
Yeah, nothing in the drawers.
His clothes are all London labels. Exclusive. The man was a spender.
According to the maid, only here a month. But there's not a shred of document to tell us one thing more.
Save for the rent receipts on the body that brought us to this address.
A man of mystery.
Uh-huh. So what was he doing here, Mulholland?
And what was he doing in Newcastle?
Roberto, are you decently Who are you?
I'm a policeman.
And I another.
Where is Count Borromeo?
I'm afraid he's dead, ma'am.
That's not possible. We must have been engaged.
That would be difficult, ma'am.
And I've only just left Black behind.
How is that, ma'am?
I was widowed not 2 years ago.
Very upsetting.
Then I met Roberto and it was like a breath of spring. Oh, how did he die?
That is what we're trying to ascertain. Are you the housekeeper by any chance?
Housekeeper? I am Senga Murdison, the owner of this establishment, and I would ask you to address me in a manner befitting.
Perhaps it might be better, ma'am, if you were to compose yourself a little. And then, after we have finished here, we may
converse about Roberto.
Yes. Oh, of course. Oh, I feel faint. Oh,
allow me, ma'am.
Thank you so much. So much. My rooms are close at hand.
That's convenient. Take your time, Mulholland. There's no precipitation.
Thank you, sir.
What did he call you? Your name?
Mulholland, ma'am. Constable Mulholland.
Charlie is my darling, my darling, my darling. Charlie is my darling. The young chevalier.
Poor woman had tears in her eyes.
Cried for herself.
If I didn't know you better, sir, I might be driven to the conclusion that you have no knowledge of the pain and suffering love brings to the fragile heart.
What do you mean? Know me better.
That's my business. Now, if it's not too much to inquire, how do you propose we continue this investigation?
We'll poke about here for a bit more, though I'm not hopeful. Talk to the widow woman, who's already fluttering her tear-filled eyelashes in your direction.
I merely offered a steadying arm.
Which caused her knees to knot together. Anyway, after that no doubt illuminating discussion, we shall turn our attention to the other front.
The giant, with red hair.
Precisely.
You know of him?
As you do yourself, he sits on high, the horses before him.
You're not thinking...
I am indeed.
Jean Brash will have you hanging on the washing line.
We shall observe from distance. And, as I remarked previous, Mr. Pettigrew is a very exact man.
A trusted employee of the North British Line staring through the gates of a bawdy house.
The Just Land, by name, sir.
A bawdy house.
Regardless, keep your eyes peeled.
All I can see is peacocks.
Ornamental, like so much in life.
This is a long reach, sir.
Not so far. I met Jean Brash in her carriage bowling along Great Junction Street some days past. At a march, she had a new coachman on top. She told me her usual man, Angus, was on a wee holiday, Jedburgh, by the borders, and he'd be back soon.
Some people are emerging.
Just keep on the qui vive. At this time of day, it is Jean Brash's custom to take coffee in the garden, served via her right-hand woman, Hannah Semple, and often accompanied by...
The same. The very same.
Angus Dalrymple, the coachman. Who sits on high and drives the cuddies.
It is the man from the last carriage. I am not mistaken.
Sometimes, sir, you amaze me.
Only sometimes. Very well, Mr. Pettigrew. Let us enter the gates, tiptoe through the peacocks, and grant you closer scrutiny at this gathering of sinners.
I am so sorry to disturb you at your work, Mr. Roach. Or should it be Lieutenant?
Lieutenant is preferable.
Oh, you men love your uniforms.
Indeed.
I spoke with Mrs. Roach and she said you wouldn't mind.
Did she now?
And I believe you may be joining our reading society. How splendid.
Mistress Murdison, I am somewhat beleaguered with responsibility within this station. If I might perhaps lead you to the point, what do you want from me?
You've heard of my sad loss?
No.
The gentleman found dead upon the train, Count Borromeo, he lodged with me.
Oh, of course, Macdonald Street, yes.
And... we were to be engaged.
Engaged? But I thought my wife told me that you were to be engaged to a ship's captain, Sutter or something.
Captain Souter. Ah. A sad mistake. Never trust a sailor.
I don't trust a living soul. But having no wish to pry into your personal grief, may I content myself with the repeated query... what do you want from me?
Your Inspector McLeavy is a very rude man.
You wish to lay official complaint?
Oh, no, that's beneath. Uh-huh. The matter concerns more with your constable.
Mulholland, what has he done?
Oh, nothing. The soul of discretion. But I was asked if I had any information to offer as regards Count Borromeo, and in my state of anguish answered, no, nothing. However, I have... something now remembered, and I would like to confide it to the constable.
Could you not confide it to me?
He asked the question. I feel duty bound.
I see. Well, you may rest assured, mistress, that I shall inform the constable. I am, after all, a mere messenger here, and before long I am sure he will be knocking at your door. Now, if you don't mind, I have much to do. Little time to do it.
Don't forget to tell the constable.
Rest assured.
And Wuthering Heights.
What?
The book we're all reading, a tragic love story. Good afternoon, Mr. Roach.
Goodbye, Mistress Murdison.
I was on the train. I don't deny it one bit. Get on at Jedburgh. Fine ale in the station tavern. I can recommend such.
Which carriage?
Oh, don't remember. I had drink taken. Slept all the way. I woke up at Waverley.
You rushed through the ticket barrier.
Well, I was bursting to relieve myself. I got there just in time. A matter of honour.
Spare us the details, Angus.
Did you find yourself in the last carriage?
I told you, I don't remember.
Even if he did, what does that prove?
Proximity to a murder, Mr. Spratt.
I saw no dead body.
Calm yourself. You have only the word of that wee railway man to place Angus on the scene, and proof of nothing else.
Lucidity personified, Jean, I bow before you.
And I have nothing to hide.
In that case, you will oblige me by turning out your pockets.
Eh?
You heard me.
Go ahead, Angus. You have nothing to hide.
Aye, that's so. Here we are now. Bit of string. Sugar for the horses. My own handkerchief. A plug of tobacco. And some paltry coin. A poor man before you.
What about the inside pocket?
Eh?
In your jacket. It hangs heavy.
Oh. Aye, my wallet, but here, see, nothing in it but paper.
I'll just mark sicker, shall I?
Give me it back!
Let him pokle about to his heart's content. Sooner this is done, the sooner I can have my coffee in peace.
Oh, I don't suppose there's any chance.
No, there is not.
In that case, I'll go about my business. Aye. You're right enough. Nothing but paper.
I told you so.
But wait now. There's a wee hidey-hole here and abracadabra.
Currency of the realm.
Notes to the value of £20. That's a deal of money, Angus.
I won it at the races.
What is the point to all this?
The murdered man was robbed.
I won it!
What were you doing in Jedburgh?
I have friends there.
You don't have any friends. You're an Aberdonian.
This is ridiculous, James McCleavy. You've not a damn bit of proof, and you know it.
Not yet. Not yet. There's your ill-gotten gains. But I have you in my sights, my manny. Wherever you go, I'll be watching. No escape.
Another wee cup of tea, Mr. Pettigrew.
No, thank you.
It was nice of the inspector to spare you the rigour of his interrogation.
I had no wish to be there at all.
Of course, Angus looks huge and frightening, and he could probably snap your neck with his fingers. But underneath, he's gentle as a kitten. Do you like kittens, Mr. Pettigrew?
My daughter is fond of them.
She has a soft heart, eh? Yes,
like her poor dead mother. Mr. Semple, if I may be so bold, are you in reality a...
I'm past it now. And I have a husband, Donald. Never at home, terrible man for cards and dice. But he'll be back within the week. I look forward to that.
I'm pleased to hear so. And is this place in truth a... I mean, the kitchen looks like any other.
No, oh, it's a body house, sure enough. I look after all the girls, and a right handful I can be at times. I could tell you stories to make your hair stand on end.
If I had any.
Was that a joke, Mr. Pettigrew?
An observation, Mistress Semple.
Time to go, sir.
Has the man been arrested?
Early days, Mr. Pettigrew. Come along now, I'll walk you down the hill.
What about the inspector?
He's been delayed.
Oh, I see. Well, thank you, Constable, and... thank you, mistress, for the hospitality.
Welcome any time.
I think not.
Oh, you'd be surprised, the standard of clientele.
Come away, sir.
Gladly, Constable, gladly. I need the refuge and sanctuary of my timetable. Minutes and hours, journey and return. That's my life, that's where I belong.
Oh, I'm pleased you changed your mind about the coffee.
You don't deserve it.
Because I have your coachman under deep suspicion.
You just need to see Angus with the horses to know how gentle he is.
Uh-huh. I arrested a man once for the murder of 3 sad and lonely women. It took me 2 whole years to track him down, a vicious and unprincipled killer. He had a small mongrel of a dog he doted upon. All that concerned him upon apprehension was who was going to look after the dog.
I know what you're about, James McCleavy. Angus is a simple soul. You plant doubt in his mind, poison the imagination, and wait for him to make a foolish move.
If innocent, he has nothing to fear.
Leave him alone, I warn you.
Mm. Oh, a fine aroma. The mysterious East.
Not long ago, you asked me if I had ever been in love.
Aye, and you said many times.
I said once or twice. Why did you ask that question?
I read about her in a book.
Who was she?
What?
The object of your attention.
Young. Beyond my station. Eyes dark and deep. Not beautiful, but beauty enough. The heroine in the book.
I don't believe you.
Suit yourself. Thank you. For the coffee.
Stay away from my coachman.
I'll do my job.
I'm telling you.
You tell me nothing.
Love is not in books, James McCleavy. It is in the breath, the heart. But what would you know of such a thing?
Exactly. I'm beyond redemption. A lost cause. I bid you good day.
And I bid you the same. Don't slam the gate when you depart the grounds.
I am impressed by your alacrity, Constable.
Lieutenant's orders. I got back and he said I had to get back out. I have to get back in as well.
Can I not tempt you then?
What?
Sugar biscuits. I could lie and say I made them myself, but I bought them at the confectionery.
I don't have a sweet tooth.
I do, down to the marrow. You don't know what you're missing.
Is that a canary?
For company. I have named him Archibald after my first husband.
How many have you had then?
Canaries?
Husbands?
Oh, only the one, so far. I had high hopes for Count Borromeo, but are you sure about the biscuits?
I'll stand firm.
A good quality.
Mistress Murdison, you said to the lieutenant you had remembered something.
It is an intimate matter.
Intimate?
Count Borromeo was not without his blemishes.
Such as?
I myself enjoyed the smallest sip of sherry, but the Count was a whisky man and it altered him.
In what way?
He became prone to rough usage.
Rough usage?
Exactly. Oh, Archibald, I have forgotten to feed you. What a dreadful person I am, to be sure. Now, there you are. Men have their appetites.
Could you elaborate on the usage, please?
We shall draw a veil over the more unprepossessing aspects, but one instance has come into my mind.
Oh, bring it forth, ma'am.
As I related to you and the inspector, the Count would never discuss his past life with me, even though I pressed him. He would always say to me, "We have the present, Senga, my amore. Who needs the past?" He could be so romantic.
When he wasn't being rough and ready.
Yes. But I was filled with the most intense curiosity, and one day I peeked into his room and caught him unawares.
And?
He had a small black leather case open before him, and he was perusing the contents. When he saw me, he flew into a rage and almost threw me out of the room in my own home. It was disconcerting.
There's been no sign of such a case, either on the train or when we searched the room.
And I have looked again this morning.
I shall inform my inspector. I thank you for this, Mistress Murdison, and regret any vicissitudes you may have suffered.
Oh, thank you for your solicitude, Constable. I am sure you would never be guilty of such an unbecoming mode of conduct.
Only towards the criminal fraternity, ma'am.
You're fair cutting back that bush.
It's too big for its britches.
You put me in mind of Samson and Delilah.
Do I now? There. Now the other side.
The inspector's put you in a fine mood.
He can go to hell.
What do you think to Angus?
What do you mean?
You believe him?
He's hiding something.
Well, there's no use asking direct. He'll just get that glacial look in his face.
Said he won that money gambling.
Angus doesn't gamble.
Exactly.
You don't suspect him guilty.
It's not what I suspect. It's McCleavy. And he'll be waiting for Angus to make a stupid move, which he will surely oblige.
He's a dunderhead right enough. We'll keep an eye on him.
I'm not his mother. Are the girls ready for the evening charge?
As far as I know.
Cattle fair at Marketplace. The farmers' pockets will be bulging.
We'll do our best to relieve them.
Let's hope that'll be good enough.
My God, I've never known two get across each other as you and McCleavy. You're like...
Yes?
Twa was fighting over a dead fly. Shall I help you clear up the mess you've made, Mistress Brash?
Indeed you may, Mistress Semple. As long as such a menial task is not below ye.
I don't mind getting my hands dirty.
Neither do I, Hannah. Neither do I.
Well, I've moved the bed aside, but floorboards are untouched. No hiding place.
Roll up the carpets, then.
Can you not help?
No. I'm looking for secret drawers and subtle places to plank a leather case.
My back is breaking.
You'll survive. No. Nothing here. Now, let's try once more the wardrobe.
Carpet's full of dust.
Number your blessings. At least the widow woman was out and the maid could let us in. Your virtue is safe for the moment.
She's not that bad.
Yeah, you've changed your tune.
I never had a tune. But just because a woman has a flighty mentality doesn't mean she can't suffer in the heart.
Is that a fact?
I think Senga Murdison had a painful time with Count Borromeo. Well,
maybe she enjoyed it. So is romance creeping up on you?
I do the other carpets.
You will not. Give me a second. Observe the wooden bottom of the wardrobe.
I can hardly... Get your big head out the way.
Oh, that's nice.
By the far side, the wood looks scraped.
As if the bottom might have been prized up. I've been trying with my nails. You have a better reach.
A knife blade. I'll just try. Wait now. Oh, up she comes.
Well, well. At times I astound myself.
What have we here?
A black leather case. Abracadabra.
You think we should open it?
Give it over. Oh, it's locked. No key. Allow me your knife.
That's against the law, sir.
We are the law. I don't have much time.
A whole night before us.
Not at all. I have a wee instinct that this very evening a certain bird might fly the coop.
What?
Aha! Oh! Now, what have we here?
Papers. Nothing but papers.
Aye, but deep within, buried treasure, Constable. Buried treasure.
There's commotion in the garden.
Are the farmers getting frisky?
No, they're well dug in. Your peacocks are howling blue murder.
If they're harmed in any way...
A tragedy, right enough. Oh, black as the devil up there.
Should we not call for Angus?
I don't know his whereabouts, and I have my razor to hand.
Wait. I'll take the lantern. We're in dark enough as it is. Are you ready?
Ready and willing.
Come on, then. Who's out there?
I am.
James McCleavy, what are you doing in my garden?
Sitting on your coachman while Mulholland puts the cuffs on.
He won't come quietly, Mistress Brash.
No wonder with that weight on him.
I had a notion that Angus here might try to escape this night, so I took a wee detour. And I got lucky.
I'll give you lucky.
That's him all manacled up, sir.
There he was. On his way, bag in hand, like a thief in the night.
Angus Dalrymple, what have you to say for yourself?
Well, I was feared to tell you, mistress.
Tell me what?
I was feared.
That makes a lot of sense.
I shall take this man to the station, Jean Brash, and find out the truth.
You do that, McCleavy. And one thing more. If I find you or that lanky Irish specimen...
I'm only a constable.
You're implicated.
...in my grounds again without permission, I shall find a gun of small shot and let fire at the both of you.
Be careful, Jean. Such an implement has a terrible kick.
I'll brace myself.
Come on, you. Oh.
Charlie, Madeline.
It works all over, Zapman.
One thing in that stupid big bugger's favour...
Angus.
Uh-huh. Much as I twist and turn him, McCleavy has an abiding interest in justice. He will not bend the law for easy conviction.
And what if he finds guilt proven?
Then our coachman pays the penalty. I asked Angus once more where he got that money, and he maintained the racecourse story. A lie.
I know he's running out on us, bag in hand.
Come on, Hannah. Back to the grind.
The man was no more Italian than Neeps and Tatties. Fergal Dumphy was his real name.
Irish, Lieutenant. A Kerry man.
Is that so?
Inside that case are all his documents and newspaper clippings. Mm. They delineate a record of crime as long as his tongue.
Delineate?
Bigamy, sir. And seduction.
Specialised in rich widows and susceptible young women in service.
Some of the letters would break your heart.
Would they indeed?
His last... port of call was Newcastle. An older woman swindled out of the last drops of her dead husband's hard-earned cash.
Mm. Squeezed her dry.
One step ahead of the Newcastle police.
The last drops, sir.
And so, returning with his ill-gotten plunder, he met his fate on the midnight train.
Angus Dalrymple tried to escape last night. Mm-hmm. And we have him in the cells, yet so far...
All he will admit to is being in the carriage with the man.
We wrung that out of him.
No more. He says the fellow was drunk, boasting of a coming marriage.
But when Angus left, Borromeo was alive and snoring, fit to burst, he says.
This Borromeo, Dumphy, whatever, has kept the most meticulous account of his depredations.
Like a miser over his gold,
and
sir.
Newspapers, Birmingham, Manchester, two mysterious deaths, women of a certain age.
Convenient deaths, no doubt. Your lusty widow had a narrow escape.
She's not my lusty widow.
Not yet. Go now, Constable, and search me out that address I need. You can have your delight later.
There's no delights in prospect.
That wasn't the impression I received from Mistress Murderson.
Go on now. Work before pleasure.
Chance would be a fine thing.
Work, James. What work do you have in mind?
I am not yet satisfied Dalrymple is our killer.
Dear me, listen to this. I will have to leave service because of my condition. Please honour the pledge you made to me, I beg of you. I could not bear the shame should my father find out what I have done. Yours in desperation and love, Christina P.
I read that one as well.
It's a sad tale, such as you might find in a novel.
As regards such, sir, have you made up your mind yet about perusal and discussion?
Yes, I have. I am not joining the Reading Society. I've told my wife she's not best pleased. Why?
What?
Why are you not satisfied as to Dalrymple's guilt?
The murder method. A cord or wire across the neck, that would not have been his way. He could have broken the man's neck with his bare hands.
Perhaps he did so to throw you off the scent.
That would take intelligence.
So, where do we go from here, James?
Back to the beginning, sir. All the way. Back to the beginning.
Very nice, Inspector.
Sugar biscuits, Mulholland's choice.
You have a sweet tooth, Constable?
No, but I have witnessed the pleasure such confections bring.
You sure about the tea, Inspector?
I'm more of a coffee hand.
No, we don't do coffee. It's too foreign.
It's a very nice room you have here, ladies.
I've cleared it these 15 years.
Thick and thin.
The night of the murder. If you might relate events from the very beginning.
Oh, but we've already told.
Tell me again.
The Inspector likes the story.
Everything that happened. Every single little thing.
Well, they're your biscuits. The midnight train's either last. So, we wait. It arrives, folk get out. We pick up our mops, the wipes, brushes, and wend our way to the joyful place of our employment.
Aye, we're here, we gab.
About what? What do you talk about?
Oh, dear. Rodents. It was rodents.
That's right enough, Jenny. Huh? Rodents, for sure.
Tell me every little thing.
Oh, my God, what was that, eh? Big rat across the platform down there. Oh, I can't see such distance. Anyhow, the place is rampant with the beasts. Don't encourage them.
Oh, these years you're still kicking up a fuss. If it doesn't have a ticket, Mr. Pettigrew will see it far enough.
That's funny.
What's funny? Never mind.
Never mind what?
What was funny, ma'am?
Aye, you never did see.
Aye, true enough. Do you know, I'd forgotten that.
Well, time to remember.
It was just... Mr. Pettigrew, you could set your watch by him. He aye met us at the back of the train, but that night, he was down by the engine, at the front. How funny that.
Ach, his mind would be elsewhere, poor man.
Poor man?
If what they say is what they say.
And what is that, ma'am?
Oh, it's gossip, just gossip. The railway's a terrible place for gossip.
But we never repeat it, do we, Margaret?
And I never listen to it.
I'm with you, sir.
So, we're all agreed on that?
Never.
Just gossip, Inspector. It's a terrible thing, the gossip.
Indeed, Margaret. Have a sugar biscuit. Good evening, Mr. Pettigrew. How is your daughter, Christina?
She's well, considering. Considering her condition, sir.
Yes. I've made provision for her. And the child-to-be.
That's nice. A good father.
I had been neglectful.
Provisions, they must have taken a lump out of your savings, eh?
Indeed it did.
But it would be buttressed by the money from the dead man's wallet.
I thought it appropriate.
How did you recognise him, sir?
My daughter had a photograph she treasured of them. I found it in her belongings by accident. I would not have you think me to be a nosy man.
I am. Nosy as hell. The night of the murder, you were at the wrong end of the train.
To put distance between you and the corpse.
The dead man had a letter from Christina P.
When we learned from Margaret Reed and Jenny the rumours concerning your daughter, we checked up on her place of service and found that she had left under disgrace.
All the facts together.
It's cold in this station.
Midnight. The glass drops.
So, allow me to reconstruct events. Fate decrees that the man responsible for your daughter's ruin ends up on your train, drunk as a lord, boasting of impending marriage, wallet bloated in his pocket.
Wee bit fancy, but accurate enough.
And another twist. The train empties, and there he is, alone, snoring like a pig.
So, you helped the seducer on his way to a deeper sleep. I will not pretend to envisage the anger and hurt which burned in your soul at the callous betrayal of your own flesh and blood, causing you to commit an act beyond anything you could ever have imagined. But I know how you did it.
Indeed?
That's a fine silver whistle you wear.
A tribute. 30 years' service.
It hangs around your neck by a strong cord.
Leather, twined fast, made by myself.
And with such, you strangled him.
It seemed appropriate. The only thing I regret was the blaming of Angus Dalrymple. It was meant to distract, but went too far.
Well, it's stopped now.
And you must accompany us to the police station, sir, to be formally charged.
You also have a timetable, that's good. I know some of these engines better than many a person. This one's named the High Endeavour, but I call it Puffing Billy.
And why is that?
Because at this time of night, near exact to the minute, the mechanism cools. But just before it shuts down, it lets loose one big blast of steam.
He went this way, I'm certain.
I believe the other.
You're wrong.
I'm right.
In the darkness. Over there. Take your stick. Watch your neck.
What about you?
I am inviolate.
Always an answer, inviolate. What kind of a word is that?
Get on with it!
A rat. Went straight from my ankles.
Leave that to the widow.
I'd be obliged if you didn't introduce such a subject into such a... Turn around, son. Slow does it. Lift your eyes upwards. On the high gantry bridge, with the trains below.
I see him, I see him. On the outside girders.
I don't think he means to descend by the usual method.
Mr. Pettigrew! You'll do yourself a mischief.
That is my intention. Betweenway, with my death you prove nothing.
What about your daughter?
Provided for. I shall count to five, blow my whistle. Five is a good number. Calvinists have I thought it so. One, two, three...
You mess up the timetable, sir.
A black mark upon your worksheet.
I am a good and faithful servant. I shall be forgiven. Four, five...
We found him on the smokestack of a train below, neck broken.
A sad business.
You didn't let fire at me then.
What?
As previously threatened.
You proved Angus innocent.
And a few other things. I made some inquiries in Jedburgh amongst my contacts and got the results back this morning. You know a woman there, Minnie Dunlop?
A dirty type. Keeps a low body hoose.
She's trying to raise standards. Bought herself a new carriage and been driving around Jedburgh like the Queen of Sheba.
Scruff, no change in that.
We a fine big coachman all dressed up like a dish of fish.
Angus?
None other than.
I'll wring his bloody neck. So that's where he got the money.
The wages of sin.
Thanks for the news, I must say.
Ah, but he blames the messenger.
What a showing up. Everybody knows he's my coachman. No wonder he didn't want to tell me.
I went to see the daughter, Christina. A plain enough girl, broad in the beam.
That would be her predicament.
Big bones. Make a good mother.
That's your criterion, is it?
I thought she'd be broken-hearted with grief, but she seemed well enough. Two aunties with her. Provided for. She gave me this. Her father's.
A whistle?
Aye. She had no use for it. Fine by me. She said the only thing her father cared for was the railways, but that wasn't true. See what he did? Out of love.
Love? That thing?
But she seemed more concerned with the baby in her womb.
As it should be. Men are just accessories.
Mistress, the menagerie's arrived. McLeavy, what are you doing here? I thought we were going to shoot you.
She changed her mind.
I can hold her back, though. Be there in a moment, Hannah.
I'll look out the gun.
What is it this time? Leopards?
Two more peacocks. Male. I admire the way they shiver their feathers to attract the females. Oh, they're good for...
Shivering accessories.
Speaking of which, where's your constable?
Having tea with a lusty widow.
He could do worse.
It's not love. More a case of pity.
That's a dangerous pastime. You think you can save someone from themselves? It never works. Never in a month of Sundays.
I felt that in some strange way I might have annoyed Jean Brash. But how could the likes of me annoy the likes of her? In any case, I bolted down the coffee and left before she came back with the birds or a gun. Yet, while we were talking, I had a wee kick at her, and I noticed that she was looking older. As if, mysteriously, during the night, she had moved from one age to another. She was still a bonny sight, but now it was a mature beauty. Perhaps the same thing has happened to me. One never notices the passage of time save through the growth of children. Neither Jean nor I have been blessed with that natural catastrophe. And when I asked Mulholland how he fared with the lusty widow, it turned out she'd invited him to join a reading society. I didn't say a word, not even to Lieutenant Roach, but I think she's wasting her time. Mulholland's more of an outdoor practitioner. She'd have been better off suggesting they went out poaching rabbits together. May yet come to that. I went to Mr. Pettigrew's funeral. His daughter was there, a picture of health in a black veil. The rest were all railwaymen. As the coffin was lowered into the grave, a train whistle sounded far in the distance. To a person, the railwaymen took up their watches and nodded their approval. The train was punctual in passing, the timetable safe for another day. I am James McLeavy, Inspector of Police. I cannot arrest time, merely as I did with Jean Brash, observe it in passing. Like love.
In episode 2 of McLeavy, Inspector McLeavy was played by Brian Cox. Jean Brash was played by Siobhan Redmond. Constable Mulholland by Michael Percival Maxwell. Lieutenant Roach by David Ashton. Hannah by Colette O'Neill. Pettigrew by Paul Young. Senga by Wendy Seeger. Margaret by Monica Gibb. Jenny by Eliza Langland, and Angus by Jimmy Chisholm. Other parts were played by members of the cast. McLeavy was written by David Ashton and directed by Patrick Rayner.